Well, again, thank you for coming tonight. Tonight's going to be a little different because this is going to be mostly Pastor Fred talking. This isn't going to be the case every week. I want to have more of a dialogue, and I want questions. And we're going to go over some homework that you'll have. So there'll be more of a give and take. And the neat thing is that any questions you have, even if you don't think that, you know, they're all that much, there might be someone who's going to listen on the web that has that exact same question, and they aren't able to ask it, so you may be speaking for them. And that's the way the Holy Spirit works. He talks to each and every one of us. But before we get too far along, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do ask that you would open our hearts and minds to stay focused on this lesson tonight. We pray there'd be no hindrance to that which you have for us, and that your Holy Spirit would minister to us, and that it would allow us to be all about you, which everything should be, Lord. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So having said that, let's get started. I don't know about you all, but I know there were times in my life when I was pretty confused about the Bible, especially early on. And it really was different to me. I kind of likened it to when I had children and they were toddlers and they would talk to me and gesture with their hands and really be, you know, wanting me to get the message. And it would come out like Google Gaga, Google Gaga, you know. And I'd listen to that and I'd say, I know they're trying to tell me something, but I don't know what it is. Wouldn't it be cool if you could have an interpreter that would help you to understand what this child is saying? Well, now we have grandchildren, and they're a year apart. One is 4, the other was 3. When they were toddlers and the 3-year-old would talk, I didn't understand a word he said either, but I knew it was important to him. So I had an interpreter. I asked his older brother. I said, Colton, what did Diego just say? I don't understand a word of what he's saying. And then he would say, oh, he said da-da-da-da-da. It was like, wow, this is amazing. And unfortunately, sometimes when we get into the Word, it doesn't make a lot of sense to us. It's just gibberish, unfortunately, especially when you first start in your walk. And it's like anything else. The further along in your walk, and the more you tune into the Holy Spirit, the more you will get out of this. There's a lot of people today that don't even want to pick up the Bible and read it. And they're Christians. And the reason they don't want to pick up the Bible and read it was because early on, they picked up the Bible and they started to read it and they didn't get anything out of it. So the only time they really want to know what's in the Bible is on Sunday morning. And you miss out on so much. And you say, well, I'm not a pastor. I listen to Pastor Will up there, and he's telling me all this stuff, and he gets so much out of it, and I go home and I read it. I still don't get half of what he got out of it. How come that happens? Again, he's a pastor, and there's a special gift that pastors have, which is called teaching. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But some people look at the Bible, and they see it as just a bunch of old stories, and it's like, you know, what are all these prophets and those guys that wrote the Psalms and Proverbs know about what I'm dealing with today in my life in this world? How are they going to affect me, you know? I mean, I've got other things that I need to understand. You know, why should I spend that time in this? You know, there's some good stories in it, and, you know, I like what Proverbs says, because Proverbs to me is common sense. If you read it, it's, you know, if you do this, then this is going to happen, and all of that. So they understand that, but they still don't really want to spend the time trying to understand what's written in the Bible, especially due to the fact it's written in some old language. I mean, that's another thing. They approach the Bible sometimes as like their spies trying to decode a secret message. And there have been books written about that, too. I don't know if any of you have ever seen them. The secret codes of the Bible, and they take numbers and all of this. And it's, you know, they put out, well, that's a prophecy that came true here. You can tell by these numbers. And I don't really spend much time with that. But those things have happened. But here's the fact. People, unfortunately, just feel like they cannot understand the Bible because there's just too much in it. If they don't go to Bible school or a seminary, you're never really going to get all that there is for you. And the Greeks have a word for that kind of thinking. It's bologna, because it's full of baloney. You know, it's not true. It's Oscar Mayer. We need to understand what the Bible says, because it will impact our lives. And we don't have to be pastors to understand it. We don't have to be elders. We don't have to be authors. We don't have to go to Bible college, because we have been given the ability through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to have the Holy Spirit make revelation to us about exactly what we need to know every day of our lives as we read the Bible. It's really that simple. How important is it to read the Bible? Psalm 119, I've said before, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. You don't think it's important to God? He spent a lot of time telling us how important it was. And it should be almost like the manna that the Jews gathered in the wilderness. It's something you go to every day in order to be nourished by it. We need spiritual nourishment as much as we need nourishment for our flesh. And you can only get that by going to the Bible. And it's not something that, you're not going to hear me tell you, you should read the verses and memorize them here. That's not what this is about. I mean, not that there's anything wrong with memorizing verses, but the important thing is to understand verses and to understand how it applies to you. When you first get saved, I think one of the greatest changes that take place in your life, spiritually speaking, is the fact that you can now pick up the Bible and you can begin to understand it no matter where you start. Now, you're not going to get it all because, let's face it, our God is a big God. You know, His ways are higher than our ways. There's some things that are just not meant for us to understand yet. We will. I mean, Paul said we understand only, you know, dimly what we're going to see when we get to heaven. We're going to understand so much more then. But there's a lot of information that is going to tell us who our God is, what He's like, what He wants us to do with our lives, how we can serve Him. There are questions that like that that should drive you to His Word. How can you communicate with someone if you don't listen to what He's saying? You know, you're not communicating. You're dictating, but you're not communicating. You have a monologue going, but not a dialogue. And, you know, you sit down and I pray that you do this every day, and you pray and you spend time with the Lord that way and in devotions. But equally as important as that is this going into His Word. Because here's the thing. We do this. We pray every morning. We do our devotions every morning. But we also study Scripture every morning, because that Scripture speaks to us time after time about what's going to happen during the course of that day. And we don't realize it, but we look back at the end of the day, you say, you know, we got that verse, and you remember how this happened, and we were told about it before we even got to it. God's Word, to me, is a veritable treasure chest of truth and wisdom. And here's the neat thing. As you begin to get into it and open up the pages and just dig, you're going to get so much more out of it that you're going to be hungry for even more. Maybe you found that even though the joy of this kind of discovery is readily available to all sincere seekers, it's not automatic. Even though it's a simple message, it isn't always an easy message, as we said. But one of the things that I remember when I first got saved was the fact that I finally found a church at Calvary Chapel, Boynton Beach, where the pastor got up on Sunday morning and he taught the Word verse by verse. And what that did to me was I knew where he's going to be the following week. So now I can read ahead. I'm an overachiever, I guess. I don't know. I love reading ahead. I want to know where he's going, you know, the next week. But then the other thing that happens is once you've read ahead and then you have the teaching, now you can go back and reread it and you say, you know, he said this, and I missed that, and you can start taking notes and just jotting all this down. One of the things that I do recommend everybody have is some kind of a writing tablet when they're studying the Word. And we'll get to the importance of that in a bit. When I first started with the Bible, I had actually a journal. And it was a prayer journal and a Bible study journal. And what was neat about it was there was a date on it. So every time I went through and laid out a prayer, I could go back, you know, weeks and weeks and see where I laid out a prayer. And here's the praise report right under it, you know. And it's the same thing with the Bible. I studied the Word and I was getting this much out of it and this much and this much. And then months later, I went back over that same scripture and now I would get this much because I had grown in my walk and I'd grown in my relationship with the Lord. And you can only do that again by studying His Word. Anyway, when I first got saved and I moved down to Florida and I found Calvary Chapel, Boynton Beach, I went home to visit my mom. And my mom came out of a denomination that didn't stress the importance of the Bible. And not at all. They had Bibles. They put them in wooden crates and they put them on their mantle. They never opened them. God forbid you would open it. That's just there. That's the family Bible and you just put it there. I always wondered what would happen if I opened it. I had no idea. But anyway, I went into church and I had my Bible because that's what you did. You go to Calvary Chapel. Everybody brings their Bible, right? And I'm going through the doors and these guys, the ushers are there and they're looking at me strangely because I've got this Bible in my hand. And then the people, you know, as we pass pew after pew, they're, what is he carrying? You know, like, what is that all about? And I thought, well, I'm in a church. I'm going to certainly get the Word of God. Well, obviously that didn't happen because that particular denomination didn't stress the study of the Bible. And one of the reasons why was because years ago they decided that in order to control the sheep, they had to keep them ignorant of the Word of God. And it went on for centuries. And it was something that was a traditional deal. And so my mom came down when I started pastoring in Okeechobee and heard me teach. And she was like amazed. She said, Freddie, how did you find all that out? What are you, I never understood any of this and you can teach it. I mean, how do you do that? And I told her I studied it. And she said, well, why didn't we do that? And I told her why. And she didn't like that. But it was the truth. I believe that any church you go to, the Bible should have a prominent place in it. And that, whether you're in a Calvary Chapel or a Baptist church or wherever, the Word of God needs to be taught. And it needs to be taught in a way that people can understand it. And again, the reason I fell in love with Calvary Chapel was because there's an order to it. You know where we're going to be week after week. If you miss a Sunday for whatever reason, you can still read the Scripture. And we're blessed because we have all kinds of media today. You can go on our website and you can listen to Sunday's message, and you can see how good-looking Pastor Fred was a few months ago, which wasn't very good-looking. But you can actually feel like you're still getting that teaching. And again, tonight, what I'm trying to do is to lay out kind of where we're going to start. The real tools and all of that we're going to use are we're going to go over. Each week, I'm going to give you a little bit more, some more resources that are available. But the best thing you can do, the first time you open the Word and you ask the Holy Spirit to make revelation, is for you to read the Scripture verse by verse and read a verse, meditate on it, ask the Lord to just show you something there that, you know, you need to know or you should know. And if you have a question, write the question down. And you do this every day. And so you go through one passage of Scripture and you do the same passage every day. And every day you look at the same verses, but every day you write something else down. At the end of the week, you take a look. Here's where it was day one. Here's where I am day two. Here's where I am day three. Look what the Lord showed me here. Look what He showed me here. I didn't know that. And you're going to be amazed when you get to the end of all this because there will be revelation. When Jesus said that he was going to send a helper to us, and that helper was the Holy Spirit, it was for precisely this reason, to show us spiritually where we need to be, to convict us by using God's word. The word of God, James describes it as a mirror. Because when you look in a mirror, if you have like a little pimple or a little wart, you can't hide from it, right? It's right there. When you look in the Bible and you actually look and study, you're going to see you got a wart here, a little blemish there. And it's going to tell you, these are areas I have to work on in my life. And that's another thing. But it's also going to be a comforting revelation. You're going to realize that God's a promise keeper, that everything he says in his word comes true, that your life, as a result of that, you're going to see promises, even as you're going through tests. I used to say there's no testimony without a test, because there isn't. I mean, people don't really care, you know, how much you know until they know how much you care. If you're talking to somebody about the word, you know, they want to know, well, but what does it mean to you, you know? Peter said, you know, we need to be able to have a ready defense for our faith. Well, the most ready defense you can have is the word of God. So as we go through all of this, we're going to be able to sit down with anybody, open our Bible up, and begin to teach. And I don't mean like, here's the Greek word, here's the words. Not like Pastor Will does or a pastor does, but just as a Christian. This is what this means. This is what God was telling us. And God, when he allowed the Holy Spirit to put this Bible together and it became a worldwide phenomenon, he kept it simple by using simple language. He used Hebrew and Aramaic for the Old Testament because that was the common language. But then even in the New Testament, he used a form of Greek. It was called Koine. And what that is almost like that's the street talk. There's a classical Greek, and then there's a Koine. And the Koine was like everyday people talking. This is the way they would have talked. And you're sitting there saying, yeah, Fred, I don't know about that, because sometimes I read the Bible, it's all Greek to me. Besides that, we all know that this old English king by the name of James wrote it in English. Not true. All kidding aside, though, I'm not suggesting that all of Scripture is going to be easy or simple, because it's not. There's going to be difficult parts. There's going to be parts that are controversial. But you need to read the full content of God's Word. We can't just say, well, I'm not going to read the Old Testament because that was for the Jews, as some people do. I'm only going to focus on the New Testament because that's for Christians. The fact of the matter is that Jesus quoted the Old Testament over 200 times, okay? So it was that important to him. The Old Testament is foundational to the New Testament. All of the New Testament writers would go back and look at their Bible, which was the Old Testament. That was the Bible of Jesus. And so it's important to understand, we can't just pick and choose. We need to have, you know, a study of the full content of his word. And as a result, we're going to grow in our understanding of what it is the Lord would have us to receive. A lot of God's truth is going to be above us because of where we come from and how far we've had to come. I think about it, you know, there are things in nature that I don't understand. You know, how the honeybees fly with those little tiny wings, that always bothered me. Zebras, I mean, are their stripes black or white? Don't know. And I have no idea what the platypus is all about, because quite honestly, that just freaks me out. I don't understand it, but God created all that. And I know that he created all that. And isn't that the important issue? Not that I understand how or why, just that I understand it was God. And as you study his word, you're going to feel the same way. John chapter 3, verse 12, Jesus reminded Nicodemus that, you know, if you can't even understand these things, how are you going to understand the spiritual things? Because Nicodemus hadn't been born again. And let's face it, before you're born again, before you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible sounds like my toddler. you know, ooey gooey gummy, you know, what, I have no idea what you're saying. But we also know that as his children, he wants us to understand his ways. Moses said in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. So there will be some things we're not to understand right now. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So in studying the Bible, don't get hung up on things you don't understand. If there's something you don't understand, that's okay. You can give that to the Lord and say, Lord, when you're ready to make revelation on that point, I'll be more than happy to listen. Because you're not going to understand everything. Paul, as great a Bible student as he was, still knew that there was going to be so much more that he would understand when he got to heaven. The Holy Spirit is the best Bible teacher you can have. After all, he wrote it. So he should know it better than anybody else. So then the question is, okay, Fred, I understand what you're saying, and you're saying I can do this on my own. Well, why do I need a teacher? Why do I need a pastor? Well, because, according to Ephesians 4:11-12, as I said earlier, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So here's how it works. Among the many spiritual gifts that God distributes across the body of Christ, he gives the gifts of pastoring and teaching to some. Why? So that they can explain to others what God is saying in different areas of Scripture. They will add meaning where maybe you can't find it right now. And what that does is it brings you back up a notch. You know, you don't mature unless you learn. If you never learn, you're going to be stuck in the same place. I knew a guy, he said he had 20 years of experience. And I said, no, you had 1 year of experience. It just took you 20 years to get there. I mean, because he never moved. You know, he was always doing the same thing. But we need to be able to go to church on Sunday, having done a little, you know, pre-reading. You know what Pastor Will is going to teach on this Sunday, right? You know where he left off. So you read ahead, and then you go to church. And you listen to what he has to say, and then you come home and you reread it, and now you're getting more of a base. You're getting more of an understanding. But here's the thing. We don't want to be people that only learn when we come to church. If that's all you ever do with the Bible, you're going to miss out. And there's no reason for you not to be able to do what you need to do in order to understand every word that the Holy Spirit makes revelation of. But one of the things that happens to so many people is they begin to read the Bible, they're confronted with issues that they don't understand, and they just say, I'll never understand this. That's not true. If you're indwelled with the Holy Spirit, there's no reason why he can't make revelation. You have to condition yourself that before you open the Word of God, you ask the Holy Spirit to do that. You ask the Holy Spirit, please, you know, Holy Spirit, as I open this word, tell me what it is you would have me to take away. What is it that I'm going to be able to learn about my Father in heaven? What is it about my life? What is it that I need to take away? Holy Spirit, only you can make that revelation to me. And then what you do, as you go through verse by verse, you write it down. You write down questions. You write down what the Lord has said to you about it. You write down what you think you need to know even more about. And all of this, if you do it on a daily basis, by the time you get through with a certain passage of Scripture at the end of the week, you're going to be amazed at how much you've learned that you never knew before. And you haven't asked a pastor, you haven't looked at a study Bible, you haven't had to go get a commentary, you haven't had to do any of that. The Holy Spirit will make that revelation. Why is that important? One Sunday I told everybody that you should always have a Bible with you. If you're going to a doctor's appointment or a dentist appointment and you're sitting there and you've got, you know, 15 minutes to 3 hours to kill in order to get in to see them, I always love that, too. Then they want to take your blood pressure, you know, if you sat there for 2 hours. Oh, your blood pressure is high. Yeah, I've been sitting here for 2 hours. But while you're sitting there, the neat thing that you can do, have your Bible with you and have a little pad. Open the Bible up and begin to do that verse by verse and write down as you go. Now, one of the things that I always say, have a Bible. I know we all have those smartphones, and you know, my phone isn't that smart. I don't know what happened to it, but you have all these apps, and it's great, and it's always wonderful that you can have a Bible in a little electronic device, right? But let's say you're looking through your phone, and you're reading through it and studying it, and you're writing stuff down. Nobody knows what you're doing. However, if you've got a hardcover of the Bible, a pocket-sized Bible with you, they're going to see Holy Bible, and you're sitting there reading and writing. What a witness. And you're going to be surprised at how many people are going to ask you, what's that all about? What's going on there? Now they've, you know, given you an opportunity to actually witness to them and tell them, this is what I do this every day, and I just love it. God's talking to me through this book, and I love it. I mean, you'd be surprised at what I found out about myself through studying this, and what I found out about what God's plan is for me. I mean, how many people today are walking around, they have no idea what they're supposed to do in life? We all know God's given us our marching orders, and he will, you know, give you more detailed marching orders every day. Jesus went to his Father every morning, and he spent time with him. Why? Because he wanted to know what God wanted him to do that day. And he even says in the Word, you know, apart from my Father, I can do nothing. Jesus, because even though he was God and he was divine, he laid aside his divinity to come and be in human form so that he can suffer in the way we do. And when he did that, he had to go back to his Father. And that's a model for us. We need to go to our Father every day. And the Bible is that one way of hearing from him. The other thing is, let's say you're going to a church and the pastor's up there and he's saying stuff that, you know, maybe shouldn't really be said. Maybe there's something wrong with it. Remember Paul in Acts 17:11 talked about a people called the Bereans. He said, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures, daily, to find out whether these things were so. And there's a balance there if you read it. You receive the truth, and then you continue to search it out. And so what the Bereans were doing, they were listening to Paul, and they said, yeah, he's a great prophet or whatever, a great teacher, a rabbi, but I'm not going to take his word for it. I'm going to go back and look in the scriptures and make sure what he's saying lines up. I always told my people in Okeechobee, don't come here Sunday morning and think the guy behind the pulpit is speaking like the Pope. You know, he's infallible. He can't make mistakes. He's still a man, and he may misspeak. And the only way you're going to know that is if you check him out. If he says something, first of all, your spiritual senses will go off. You get a little spidey tingle, you know. You know that I don't understand. That doesn't make sense. I don't feel good about that spiritually. I'm going to go home and check it out. And when you do that, you're going to know Pastor made a mistake. And if Pastor made a mistake, do you think Pastor Will would be upset with any of us if we told him, well, Pastor Will, remember when you said this, and I went back and I looked it up, and I think you wanted to say this because that's what it says in Scripture. He wouldn't be upset with anybody about that, nor would I as a pastor. We're men. We're you know, sometimes we get so caught up in something, we misspeak. Now, I'm not talking about heresy. I'm talking about, you know, something that you say that can be misinterpreted. One fella thought that I was talking about pre-trib, and he said, you're against pre-trib. And I was like, I never said I was against pre-trib. But at least he was listening enough, even if he mislistened that time. But I didn't rebuke him for it or anything like that. I said, well, if I said that, I'm totally, you know, not that way. I totally believe in pre-trib. I mean, that's a Calvary Chapel tenet. So anyway. Now, maybe you've gotten into a passage of Scripture and you've read it several times, and then you read it again. And all of a sudden, it's like a light goes on in your head. Oh, now I get it. And that could be something that you heard, you know, on a Christian radio station. It could be the words to a song. It could be from a pastor's message. It could be from anywhere, but the Holy Spirit will use that to make that revelation. And when it happens, it's like you're blown away. When I first got saved, I went out and bought one of those one-year Bibles. You ever see those things? You read it every day and you get through the Bible. And I always tell people I was an overachiever. I did it in 6 months, but that's not really true. But I would spend about 20 minutes a day going through the scriptures that they had outlined. And in doing that, I did get through the Bible in a year. The only good thing that came out of that was I developed a discipline, if you will, to study the Bible, because I didn't get anything really out of it. I wasn't reading it. I wasn't meditating on it. Because I had this goal. I had to get from here to here to here to here. So I never really camped out in any one part of the scriptures. And people would say, well, you read the Bible, you know, read over the Bible two or three times already. You mean to tell me you don't understand that? No, because I wasn't trying to. I was trying to achieve the goal. I've got to get from here to here. And so it was something I couldn't do. Now, some people will tell you that, you know, Fred, it's impossible for you to finish the Bible in 1 year if you're only spending 20 minutes a day at it. I found this in a book, and I was just going to share it with you. At a very moderate rate, the entire Bible can be read in about 70 hours, about 52 hours for the Old Testament and 18 hours for the New Testament. So divided over an entire year, those 70 hours equate to 1 hour and 20 minutes per week, or 16 minutes per day if you were to read 5 days a week, or only 11 and a half minutes per day if you established a habit of reading your Bible every day. Not as time-consuming as you would think, right? I mean, well, 70 hours and you can do the whole Bible? When I read this, I was like convicted a bit because, you know, initially I would always have excuses, especially as a pastor. Sometimes as a pastor, you get so caught up in preparing your message. And at one point in Okeechobee, I was teaching on Sundays, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Wednesdays. I had like three home fellowships I was doing. And we had a midweek study too. So I did spend a lot of time that. But I always thought, well, you know, I just don't have the time to do this as I used to spend that 20 minutes a day. I read this. For most of us, our work consumes of at least 40 hours a week in and week out. That's 2,000 hours annually. Each year we sleep almost 3,000 hours. Add another 550 hours per year for eating, about 1,500 hours per year for watching television, and all of a sudden 70 hours of Bible reading look pretty easy. Perspective is everything. You know, what is it that's important to you in your life? Is it important to watch the evening news, or is it important to, do some hobby or something in the morning? Well, what's important to you? The things that are important to you are the things that get most of your attention. So that's just one of those things that I usually tell people. Now, we're not going to get into the tools that you have available to you in Bible study this week, because what I want to do is kind of simplify this. I want to start with the basics. I want to start with you, the Bible, a writing tablet or journal or whatever you want to use, and 20 minutes a day. That's it. 20 minutes a day. And in those 20 minutes, you're going to start reading, and you're going to read a verse. You're going to meditate on it. You're going to write down what you got out of it. And then you get to the next verse. Same thing. And you may not get through all of the verses in that one day. You know, you may have to come back. But the next day, you go through, just check over the ones you've already read and see if there's anything additional. Then go to the next verse and continue on. before you do that, you want to pray. There's a beautiful prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. It's chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, and it's like this. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Open the eyes of our understanding that we might be enlightened, and that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what you're doing is now you're bringing in the Holy Spirit into this whole study. And you started out with that. You should always start everything with prayer. And I think that should help you. And then what you want to do is focus on the Bible itself. And as I said, read a verse, write down whatever the Holy Spirit gives you. And in this class, you're going to be getting these kind of homework assignments every week. And it's not like, here's 3 hours of homework. It's 20 minutes a day that I want you to spend in your Bible. And I want to give you this scripture for our first week. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. And if you say, I don't have 20 minutes, you know, in the day, let's go back and recap how much time we spend watching TV, how much time we spend eating, what hobbies we're, you know, spending time in. You'll find 20 minutes. For me, I do it in the morning, and it means maybe I get up 20 minutes earlier. But I do it in the morning because I'm fresher in the morning and I'm more spiritually tuned in. And that's what usually when we do our devotions. But the evening can work for you. Lunch hour can work for you. Everybody eats lunch, right? So does it really, I mean, most of you get an hour, I guess. Maybe some of you get a half hour. But if you get an hour, 20 minutes of that hour can be used in this study. And as you do this, if you're worried about the time, you know, how am I going to make up this time? The Bible tells us that God can redeem the time for you. I had that happen. I look at my day and I'm like, there's no way I'm going to get this done or that done or this done. And I asked the Lord, Lord, please redeem the time. Listen, if he could stop the day for Joshua, I think he can give you an extra 20 minutes a day to spend in studying his word. So we're going to do that. And then next week when we get together, this will be up to you as to how much you want to participate in this, but it'd be really neat if we can share what we found in our study. And you don't have to say, oh, on day one I found this, on day two. You can say at the end of it, you know, this is what I got out of it. You know, these are some questions I still have, but these are some questions I had that the Holy Spirit answered. And you know, I want to go deeper than that. And then we're going to get there. Because next week we'll be talking about some of the tools that are available to help you go deeper. And it's not just going to be, Fred speaking. It'll be the Lord speaking to you prayerfully. Now I do have to ask, does anybody have any questions or any of you have like preconceived notions about what this was going to be like? If you want to ask, fine. I'll repeat it for the people listening. But does anybody have any questions? Do you have a question?
So I've been starting at the beginning of in Exodus right now from Leviticus. So is there any scriptures that can help me along with that?
With Leviticus?
Yeah.
One of the things you'll notice in Leviticus, if you've been doing it with Pastor Will, or you're just doing it on your own. Okay, one of the things you'll notice about Leviticus is it's a sacrificial system explained. Mm-hmm. Who was the greatest sacrifice we had?
Of course, Jesus.
Right. And so Leviticus points to his sacrifice. And each one of those sacrifices, as you look through it, as you read through it, and I'm not going to give you any, like, commentaries. I'm just going to say how you can pull more out of it. Okay, God, what is it here that, you know, I should learn about Jesus? What is it that I should take away from this sacrifice? What is it that points to him? I mean, some of this stuff is you know, pretty up, the sin offering. It tells you what it's for, right? So I know what that is. What's a burnt offering about? Well, it tells you what it's for. And you know, if you, as you go through it, Leviticus, in each of the chapters that come after it, actually explained the law of the previous whatever it was that they were talking about. So read it. I would take it and I would read it chapter by chapter, verse by verse. I would write down as I'm reading the verse, you know, the question, Father, I don't understand this. Can you make revelation of what it is I should be taken away from this? But the overall concept of it is Jesus. And every word in the Bible points to Jesus. When Pastor Will told me he was going to teach through Leviticus, I said, you're a better man than I. But the truth of the matter is, as you look into it and you understand, you know, that sacrifice, you know, some of it sounds, you know, so, you know, why did they take the fat? Well, in the old days, the fat, believe it or not, was the choicest part of the meat. So God always wanted the best, right? So he took the fat. So they always left the fat for him. And there's other issues there. Like they mentions, the type of people that are making the offerings. You can tell who has the money and who doesn't. People with some wealth, they took theirs from the herd, and the herd was the bull or bullock, right? Some took them from the flock, that would be the sheep and the goats. Some people didn't have that, they had birds. Jesus' mother and father, when they went to make sacrifice, all they could give them was a pigeon or a dove. I mean, they didn't have anything, right? So you could tell where they are. But there's all kinds of stuff in there as you read through it. When we get, you know, as we get into this, keep bringing that Leviticus up, because I think that's a good question. And it's a good thing to try and understand. And maybe as we get through this and I give you more tools to use, you'll be able to take more out of it as well. Okay? Anybody else?
Translations.
I always laugh about translations. We're going to get into that next week, but what kind of translations? What translations?
Well, it's dedicated to have multiple things.
Yeah.
Kind of go back and forth.
Believe it or not, there are parallel Bibles which do exactly that. And there's software that you can tap into. That's free, by the way. You can use that. But I had a fella who was a Baptist preacher. He was 95 years old. His name was Dale in Okeechobee. And I had been teaching from, now Will uses the King James. I used the New King James. And so this old fellow came up to me after service and said, you know, Pastor, I was listening to you and you're a good teacher, but you're using that New Age Bible. And I said to him, the New Age Bible? He says, yeah, that's a New Age Bible. You can only teach out of the, 16-something authorized version of the King James, or otherwise it's not truly the Word of God. And I said to him, you know what? If you were to use the New King James, the King James, the NIV, which is Nearly Inspired Version, the NLT, whatever they call it, the New Living, if you used any of those, what's the key ingredient to understanding the Word of God? Is it the translation? Prayer, Holy Spirit. He can take anything. I mean, there are paraphrases he can use. You've heard of the Message. Well, that's a paraphrase. It's not actually a translation. He goes a little bit off anyway. But he can even use that. The Holy Spirit can take whatever you have available, and he can make that revelation. And it's going to be a true revelation. So translate. And again, we're going to get into more detail, you know, in the next week or so on that. Because choosing the Bible you want is very important too. It should be something you're comfortable with. Some people like that New Living Translation. My assistant pastor in Okeechobee, he always used that. Although now he's using New King James. Because I told him he had to use that New Age Bible. But that's a good question too. But we will get into that. So again, just to recap, next week, do your homework. Get a piece of paper out, a journal, a pad, whatever you have. Write down the day that you're looking into the Word and the verses that you've covered, and any questions or anything that you got out of it reading it this time that you didn't understand last time. I mean, you're going to find out something neat as you go through it too. The Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. So there'll be a part of John chapter 1 where we'll be talking about the Logos and who is the Logos and who is the Logos. Well, in that very same chapter, as you get to the, I think it's verse 14, it tells us it was the one who came and dwelt in the flesh. So who could it be, right? And that's the way the Bible is, and that's the way the Holy Spirit works. He takes it and he uses it to continue to teach and make revelation. So prayerfully, this is something you guys are going to hang in with. I'm going to hang in with it. I've got 7 more weeks, and we're going to continue to record for those who aren't able to be here. Yes. Do we still look for a life application? You can. And again, that'll be something we'll talk about. There's all kinds of different study Bibles, life application Bibles, chronological Bibles, parallel Bibles. And so we're going to talk about those next week. And again, if Wanda has, what do you have? You have a life application or a study Bible?
I have a study Bible.
And she loves it. And it's great for her. Now, I have that little pocket Bible. In fact, I have two in the truck in case I miss one. But I have that little pocket Bible that I bring with me that's just a Bible. And there's no concordance. That's all I use. And she knows. I'll be in the doctor's office with her and I'll open it up and I'll read something. I was reading Philemon the other day and it suddenly struck me. And all these years I've been teaching, I never thought about it. When you read Philemon, that little book, what you realize is Paul is a schmoozer. He's a flatterer because he tells Philemon, you know, what a great guy he is. I know you're a super saint and all this stuff to set him up for the fact. You remember that thieving servant of yours? I'm going to send him back to you. But you're such a big man of God and you're so wonderful that I know you'll take him and he'll become a brother, even though he'll be your servant. And anything he's taken from you, charge that to my account, you know, like he's going to charge Paul. It's funny when you read some of these things. Now, at the end of Paul's life, one of the prison epistles, he finally asked for a lawyer. Bring Demas, the lawyer. You know, I mean, he didn't care about a lawyer up until then, but he knew he was in heavy trouble at that point. So even Paul was human and went through those things. And that's the other thing. We sometimes set the people in the Bible up as, you know, spiritual giants. I love studying them because you find out they're just as bad as we were. I mean, you read David, a man after God's own heart. And what did he do with Bathsheba? And we listed like 4 or 5 sins he committed with that one act. And he wasn't where he was supposed to be. But he was a man after God's own heart. He was a terrible parent. I mean, look what his kids did. One of them tried to kill him. I mean, he just had his failings. But the thing about David and the thing that God understood was Psalm 51, when David confessed that he was broken about what he had done. And he realized, you know, God, I can offer you all the sacrifice in the world, but it doesn't mean a thing to you if my heart isn't right. You want my heart, and I'm going to give you my heart. And that's why he was a man after God's own heart. Abraham, he's another guy. I go on and on, but I won't tonight. I'll get you folks out of here. Any other questions?
Are you going to get into the inductive Bible study?
Yes, towards the end of this. Have any of you ever heard of the inductive Bible study? I'm going to bring you there at the end. Well, the last 3 or 4 weeks, we'll get into that. But once you get through that and you have all the resources and all the tools, I'm telling you, you're going to be able to sit down with the Bible and just fall in love with it. Mike McIntosh wrote a book called Falling in Love with the Bible. And you truly do. You feel like you've missed a day if you don't get in there. And, you know, I didn't get my study in today. You know, I need to get back to it. And that's what we're trying to do. Trying to create a hunger and thirst for God's Word and all of His people. And as we do, prayerfully, this will give you the ability to minister to other folks, you know, who are afraid or just, I can't read the Bible. I mean, how many times you meet people and I read it, but I don't get anything out of it. By the end of this class, my prayer is that you'll be able to say, you know, I was like that. And then we went through this and I realized I put too much on myself and didn't realize I had a great helper in the Holy Spirit. I had all these tools and all these resources, and you don't have to spend a lot of money for it. It's all there, you know? So, let's just, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, you said no commentaries for this week, right?
Yeah, nothing, nothing but just your Bible. I mean, even if it's a study Bible, don't read the notes.
But about strong numbers, as far as like, because I'm a big...
We're going to get there. But this week I want it to be just foundational. So that if you're someplace and you don't have your Strongs and you don't have the commentary, you can still open up God's Word and be refreshed and get something out of it. So that's why we're going to start with this. That's why I say it's foundational, but it's very important. And I just look forward to see what the Lord's going to do this week with all of you. I believe you're going to come back and you're going to be blessed that you did this. And you're going to find out that you actually do have the ability to understand more than you thought, even if all you're understanding is more questions. That's the road to learning, right? If you don't have a question, then you already know it. If you have a question, you want to learn. And God, He rewards us for that. He rewards us for taking the time, the 20 minutes a day. Some of you may want to do more than 20 minutes. I'm saying at least 20 minutes. You take as much time as you need. But do spend your time every day so you've got 5 or 6 days that you can jot down what you found. Okay? All right, let's close in prayer. Father God, we just thank you again that you gave us this place and this time. And Lord, that you were here with us. We never go any place without you, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is with us. We feel your presence. We know that you are a good God and that you have good things for us in store, especially this week as we attempt to get into your word and to allow you to minister to us through that word. And that the Holy Spirit would make that revelation to us, that we would come back with at least one thing we've learned as a result of this study. And we just thank you again and praise you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.